Good morning. Good morning. SEU all survived Snowmageddon. So there you go. Raise your hand if you build a snowman. Yeah. Raise your hand if you threw a snowball. Yeah, that's a lot of fun, right? If you got hit by one? All right. Very good. Very good. It's a lot of fun to have snow. But typically, being from Indiana, I don't like it when it sticks around. I like it when it snows and like within an hour or two, it's just gone, right? And so I appreciate all those that helped out. Rick actually got up here on Friday and just like was assessing going, dude, you guys got to watch out up here. And then Kemper went out and shoveled a little bit up there and threw out some de-icer. And then him and Jim were back here making sure this was all cleaned out. So they did a great job with everything. And so appreciate everybody kind of working together, making sure all that worked out, right? So I was joking with Rick saying, hey, would you like to be on the snow committee? Didn't think we actually would have one, right? And so, but hopefully we won't have to have that anymore. I'm just kind of ready for a regular Sunday where we don't get up in the morning going, so are we having church or are we not having church, right? And so hopefully this next week it'll be nice warm weather and it'll be all right. So, hey, listen, a couple things that are happening. One, Wednesday night start this week, right? So don't forget, same as before, bring a dish to share. Best eating in town, and we got a couple different offerings as far as two different classes to do. And so just show up ready to just hit the ground running. It'll be a blast. We're going to have a great time on Wednesday night. And I mean, it really is, I'm telling you, the best eating around. So we've got that happening this Wednesday. And then also, too, you've heard me talk about it. We mentioned it on Wednesday night when we had our the congregational meeting. We had we talked about this as well. Good News Club. We want to make an impact, a splash in our community. And Shiloh Elementary has given us an opportunity to actually literally teach the gospel after school, one day a week there. And so that's probably coming down the pipe. And so we're going to need some help. And if you were like, oh, you were serious about that, then here's what I need you to do. There's a QR code in front of you. I need you to scan that. And if you will look back for the sign-up genius and just put in that, I'm willing to help. It'll be probably at 3:45 to about 5:15-ish, something like that. I don't know what day yet. They haven't given us a day, and I will make sure we get that out to you. And I realize that for those of you that may get on there and say, yeah, I would like to help out, a lot of that may be for you when that is going to happen. We'll make sure we get all that information out. The unfortunate part is we have to jump into the deep end of the pool before we find out all that stuff. So this week I will probably end up talking to the director, and if it looks like we're good to go, at least on the basis of it, we will go ahead and say absolutely, we'll jump in, and then we'll just say, okay, Lord, now you got to send people, right? And so all that's coming around the bend. So a lot of fun things taking place. And I know Jim will mention this in a little bit, but Keith will be on boots on the ground next Sunday, which is kind of nice. And so you'll get a chance to either meet him or see him once again and connect with him and everything. So let me ask you this question. How often do you celebrate? How often do you celebrate? This past Wednesday night at our congregational meeting, we in some ways really just kind of celebrated, right? In amidst the numbers and the statistics and the financial reports and attendance reports and all that sort of thing, we celebrated. We celebrated the baptisms we've had this past year. We celebrated the new folks that have made their transfer and said, absolutely, we want to plant our flag here at MC3 and have joined the church. And quite simply, we just kind of celebrated what God has done this past year here at MC3. And if you were able to make it, man, it was fun. And if you weren't, you'll catch it again next year. No, don't worry about that. But I love to celebrate. And in our family, we love to celebrate. And so I wish you could get a sneak peek into the Stansberry household when we are watching a game. And it can't just be any game, right? It can't just be any game. It's got to be an NCAA football playoff game. It's got to be an NCAA basketball championship game. It's got to be when the Braves are, not just when they're playing like any old time, like when they're in the playoffs or they are in the World Series. And so when we come together, the Stansberry boys, we celebrate, right? And I'm telling you, it's a sight to behold. If you don't know, you can ask Brian Dees. He has witnessed it in full time, I mean real time, he has been there with us, and we didn't scare him away, which is kind of weird, but we've got our own way of celebrating, and it's kind of interesting. And so whenever there's a big game, you'll find us rooting for a team. Most of the time we're all rooting for the same team, and other times maybe we're not, just a little bit, but usually we're all in, right, on it. And poor Christy, I mean, you just have to pray for Christy, because she gets to hear it. Jessica got baptized in it a few weeks ago, I think. And so she got to kind of see, like, well, who are these weird guys and what are they doing and what's all this about? But let me just say, included in our celebration, there is yelling, right? There's yelling, like if it's football, it's go, 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 go. He could go all the way. Yeah. And then we raise our voices, right? And I'm sure that our neighbors hear this all the time. Or if we're not yelling that, we're yelling, oh, come on, man. How'd you miss that call, ref? Are you kidding me, right? And so we're all kind of, yeah, so there's a raising of the voices in our celebration. There's laughing, there's high-fiving, and then there's this weird clap thing that we do where we kind of clap in unison. I can't explain it to you. You just got to be there to just know. I know we're weird, but man, we have a great time just celebrating, being together. And let me tell you something. The last couple of games have been on a Thursday night, and Landon has been in Statesboro, and Caleb has been at his house, and it's been weird because we haven't been able to really celebrate together like that because we've been separate. And so it's all on text, which isn't just not the same, right? It's just not the same when we're on text. And so we love in our house, the Stansbury house, we love to celebrate. We love to celebrate. How often do you celebrate? How often do you celebrate? And I mean, you know, we got various occasions where we celebrate, right? Different little things. But how often do you, you know, we get together on purpose, excited about something or some event or someone or something that's taken place, and you just celebrate? And here's the question I have is, why do we celebrate? You ever think about that? Like, why do we celebrate? What is it about that? Why do we get excited when somebody, some person dressed in the same uniforms as half the people in the yard, then when they carry an oddly shaped ball across a certain white line on a 100 yard by 50 yard patch of grass, and we get excited about that? What is that? What is that? Why do we celebrate? Or think about it this way: why do we celebrate when someone stands up on a stage and sings the right notes, right? They hit all the right notes, and it makes it, you know, melodious enough that we like, oh, I really like that. And we stand up and we clap and we cheer and we are excited. And, people actually get up on stage and jump out into the crowd, right? So they can catch them. Why do we celebrate that way, right? Why do we celebrate, when someone gets together for our birthdays, right? Right? Why do we celebrate? Because I'll be honest with you, we didn't do anything. We just got born, right? Who should we be celebrating? Should be celebrating our moms, right? They put all the heavy lifting in, right? They did all the hard work in the event. All we did was just kind of show up, right? And so why do we celebrate? I like how someone answered this question. They mentioned that we celebrate because there's something about the celebration that gives us a sense of belonging and a sense of community. And I think that's it. That's why we like to come together and celebrate. There's a sense of belonging, right? We're all together and we're all kind of common cause for the most part, right? And there's a sense of community when we come together and we're celebrating. And so what is going on today in your life that would warrant you to celebrate? That would warrant a celebration where you're like, yes, I'm going to high five other people and I want to yell and I want to I want to do that weird clap thing that Stansbury boys do. I don't know what that is, but it sounds like fun. And how often do we celebrate, right? How often do we celebrate? I ran across a article in the Huffington Post, and the author had an interaction in a cab with the driver happened to be from another country. And so he says, I was in the cab in Houston a few years ago, heading back to an airport after speaking at an event. The cab driver and I got into an interesting conversation about life, about family, and about the state of our culture in America. The driver told me that he was from Ethiopia originally, but had been living in the United States for about 20 years. So he said, I asked him this question. I said, what's your take on the American culture, given that you didn't grow up here? And he paused for a really long time. And then he said, can I be honest with you? And I said, well, of course. And then he said, I think most people in this culture act like spoiled brats. And he said, it took him aback just a little bit. And he said, well, why do you say that? And he said, well, Mike, I'm from Ethiopia. Every day here in America is a good day. I don't understand why people don't just walk around here with their hands in the air saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. When's the last time that you celebrated? How often do you just celebrate? Celebrate what God has done. How often do you celebrate the big things? How often do you celebrate some of the small things that come our way? Or maybe the better question would be this, and maybe we could package it like this. What are you thankful for? Because in many ways, when we give thanks, we're celebrating whatever that thing is that we're thankful for, right? It's a celebration when we say thank you, when we sit back and kind of count our blessings, and we're kind of, I'm thankful for X, Y, and Z. I'm thankful for this and thankful for that. And when we're thankful, there's this little mini celebration, like, yay, it goes on within us because we're celebrating. Maybe the better question is, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for that would warrant a celebration of what God has done? And I know that there are things that we could celebrate every day and probably should celebrate every day. But quite frankly, on Sundays especially, this should be an extra day of celebration, right? This is a day that the Lord has made, and we're going to have the chance to worship Him and focus our attention completely on Him. And so why not celebrate that? In fact, I would even say this, that our drive over here should probably already be filled with some thankfulness in our hearts, right? In fact, I think that our drive over here, we should have this big smile on our face, because we're getting ready to go to worship the King of the Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of the universe. And so why not be thankful? Why not be happy? Why not prepare ourselves ahead of time for that celebration? And so I went through the scriptures and I kind of looked at places where people encountered Jesus and their reaction afterward. And what's interesting, and I was kind of surprised, and I don't say surprised, maybe that's not the right word, but I was a little surprised to see the reaction of people that encountered Jesus afterward and the celebration that they went through. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 5. We're going to kind of hang out there for a little bit. Then we'll peel off that on the John chapter 20. But in Luke chapter 5, there's a very interesting thing that happens where Jesus is teaching, and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, are sitting there watching Jesus and watching everyone kind of listen to Jesus, and they're watching to see if in some ways they can find something wrong with Jesus. Like, is there something that he's going to say that they can jump in and go, ha ha, right? They're trying to look for something that they can kind of accuse Jesus with. And so they're sitting around thinking this. But we get to Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 18. It'll be up on the screen behind me. But if you've got your paper Bible, there may be some moments in here that you might want to underline, highlight, and that sort of thing. So I encourage you, we've got some pens, I think, over here. But if you bring a pen, that's even better. That way you can kind of capture some things and kind of write some things in the margins in your Bible. By the way, you can do that, and it's perfectly fine. And I love to see that, because when we are reading, we go back and read certain things, we can see our notes, and it kind of helps us out with just understanding and learning Scripture just a little bit better. But in Luke chapter 5, verse 18, we're told that in the middle of Jesus' teaching, that some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Let me just ask you this. Could you imagine what it would be like to be paralyzed? Think about that for a second. We often maybe just kind of brush through this passage of Scripture if you've ever read it before, but what would it be like to be paralyzed? Put yourself in the shoes or on the mat of this person, right? We don't know what his paralysis was. We don't know if it was neck down, where he could only move you know, his head. We don't know if it was waist down. We don't know what he was going through. What we do know is that before Jesus, there was no way that his situation was ever going to change. He was on this mat, and that mat would have been his home from here on out. But with Jesus, we know through this story that there's a possibility of hope and healing. And so this man's friends are desperately trying to get him to the one person that can help him. They're trying to get him an audience with Jesus. It's mission critical for them because this is a last ditch effort to try to get this guy healed. I'm sure maybe they tried everything. We're not really told, but we just know that they're trying to get to Jesus. And so what do? They can't get through the front door, can't get through the back door. So if you can't go through those ways, what are you going to do? Let's just go through the roof. And so they pulled off the little tiles that covered the roof, and they began to lower Jesus down, or lower him down to Jesus right in the middle of Jesus' talk, right? Right in the middle of his sermon, they are lowering this guy down. This is mission critical for them. Verse 20 tells us this, because it shows us what Jesus does in the middle of this, right? Verse 20 says this, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, now listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says to him, friend, your sins are forgiven. It's interesting to me that the paralyzed man showed up for one thing, but he got a whole lot more, right? He showed up so that Jesus could heal his paralysis. But what ends up happening is Jesus looks past that and says, your sins are forgiven. There's something a little bit deeper that was going on within him than what met the eye. And so Jesus addresses his sin, and then later on he removes the paralysis. In verse 21, it says, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? I would highlight that, underline that, draw a line to that, draw arrows to that, because that's extremely important. Here's the part that I go, how did they miss it? How did these guys miss it? They even said the words, who can forgive sins except God alone? Hello? He is God, right? There he is, staring you in the face, and they totally missed it. They totally botched that part of things. They didn't get it. Verse 22 says, Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? In other words, what's easier to do? Is it easier to forgive someone's sins, or is it easier to heal someone's paralysis? They didn't know the answer because they couldn't do either. They couldn't heal his paralysis, and they definitely couldn't forgive him of his sins. But Jesus could. Jesus could do both. Jesus could do both. They couldn't do either, but he could do both of these things. And that's the thing that we need to understand in our life. There are some things that we can't do. There are some things that other people can't do. But Jesus can. Jesus can. Who do we go to? We go to Jesus. Verse 24 says this. Jesus says, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And so he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And immediately this man stood up. It wasn't like his, if you come out of a coma and it takes you a while to go through therapy, right? There was no crutches. There wasn't walking on the parallel bars, he wasn't in a brace. None of that. This man immediately, Jesus says, get up and take your mat and go home. Guy stands up on his legs. He's like, whoa, hey, this is awesome. Picks up his mat and said, all right, I'll see you later. I'm out of here. Immediately he was healed. It wasn't that it took a long time. He was immediately healed. Immediately his sins were removed. Immediately he was healed. Immediately he was healed. And then it says this. He took what he was lying on, went home. Catch this. Don't miss the celebration. Don't miss the celebration. And it says he went home praising God. Praise, having a celebration. Excited. This guy went home high-fiving. I'm sure he was yelling and probably doing that strange Stansberry clap thing, right? He was probably doing all those things on his way home, celebrating. And not only did he celebrate, verse 26 says, everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. Celebrate. When we celebrate, you know what? It's catchy. It's catchy because everyone begins to celebrate. We get excited about Jesus. Everybody starts getting excited about Jesus around us. We start high-fiving because of what Jesus has done. Everybody else is like starting high-fiving because of what Jesus has done and doing that weird Stansberry clap thing. It's contagious. Scripture says they were filled with awe and they said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Wasn't that awesome? Wasn't that amazing? How many of you watching, you know, the two playoff games walked away going, "Man, those were some really good games. Whoa, those were really awesome. Man, I wish all football games were like that." Me and the boys did, even though we were on text with each other, like, "Wow, those were awesome games." Could you imagine this man and all the people that saw all this? They said, "Man, we saw remarkable things today. Dude, you ought to check out what happened at church today." It was, the celebration was incredible. And so if we were to go back and ask this man, "What are you thankful for? What are you celebrating God for?" He'd probably say, "Well, I'm thankful for the healing. I'm thankful that I can walk. Thankful that I can move my fingers and my toes. Thankful that I can go back to work. I'm thankful that I can get off that mat, that mat is not my home anymore, that I can throw that mat in the corner and not even worry about it. I'm thankful that I can run. I'm thankful that I can jump. I'm thankful, Lord, that I can feel all my lower extremities." My guess is this man continued to celebrate what Jesus did for him for the rest of his life. For the rest of his life. And what is interesting is if he continued to follow Jesus, if he continued to put his faith in him, he would have taken with those legs, walked across the portals that we will walk across one day into heaven and continue to praise God. All in all of eternity. See, that's what we're called to do. We're called to celebrate Jesus. We're called to celebrate what God has done. Here's my question to you is, what has Jesus done for you that is worth celebrating? What has Jesus done for you that is worth celebrating? Think about that for a second. I would even say maybe even jot that down as you're thinking about it. Maybe it won't come to you right now, but maybe later on, maybe tomorrow, maybe Tuesday, maybe Friday, it's going to pop in like, "Oh, you know what? There is something that's worth celebrating Jesus that he's done in my life. And I'm going to write that down right now." It's important that we celebrate what Jesus has done. What are you thankful for today? What are you thankful for that Jesus has done for you? If you go down to the very next verse, I love this because the celebration doesn't stop. It actually continues on in the next thing that happens. Because the next thing that happens is Matthew, also known as Levi, is sitting at his tax booth. He's just collecting taxes. This is his life, right? And let me think about it this way. We don't like the IRS, right, as much as we just don't, okay, because they take our money at gunpoint. But nonetheless, that's just saying, right? Now I'm going to get audited, right? So anyway, Satine, I need your help. We don't like to pay taxes or tax people. Back in those days, it was even worse because they were under Roman control. They didn't have their own country. So if you were a tax collector, you were not working for Jerusalem or for Judah or for Israel. You were working for the man. You were working for Rome. And if you stepped up and said, "Yeah, I'll be a tax collector," that meant you were in the eyes of everybody else around you, you were a traitor. Hated. I'm always curious how many tax collectors got killed in the middle of the night, right, by people that just didn't like them. And so people hated these guys. And here Levi is, he's sitting at his tax booth. And I'm curious what that was like, right? Did Matthew just wake up one day and this is it, right? This is his life. He's sitting at this tax booth in this cubicle, right? I don't know what this booth was like, but I'm going to liken it to a cubicle. Stacks of coins, making his fortune off the misfortune of his neighbors and his used-to-be friends, right? People that would walk away and go, "You used to be my friend, but you're not anymore. Now you're my enemy." And so he's just sitting there at this tax booth, this tax cubicle, and he's just kind of bringing in the money. And the tax collectors, here's what they did. Rome would say, "Listen, we need X amount of money, and we don't care how you get it, just get it." And the tax collectors would go, "Well, we need 10 bucks off everybody. I'm going to charge everybody 20 bucks. And I'm going to skim 50% off for myself." And Rome could care less as long as they got their cut. And so that's kind of the way it worked. And so this guy, we don't know, you know, how good or how bad of a tax collector he was. He was just collecting taxes off of these people. Maybe Matthew didn't didn't have any other options. Maybe he couldn't. He wasn't a farmer, wasn't a fisherman, wasn't a carpenter, didn't have any other real skills. And it's like, dude, I can count. I guess I could become a tax collector, right? Maybe he just saw a sign on the door saying, you know, tax collectors wanted to apply here, and kind of walked in, and that's just what happened. We don't really know, but he is this tax collector. Maybe for whatever reason, he didn't have any other skills, but he was good at this. I mean, like really good. Really good at numbers, really good at collecting money, and really good with finances. Well, I don't know why he's there, but he's there. And in Luke chapter 5, verse 27 to 28, it says this: after this, Jesus went out, and he saw a tax collector by the name of Levi. That's Matthew, who is writing this out right here. Well, not in Luke, but in Matthew, you'll find this as well. Sorry. And so he's sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. So what's interesting is Jesus gives Levi a new job, gives him a new title, gives him a new life, right? If we were to sit down and have coffee with Matthew or Levi, whatever you want to call him, and we were to ask him the question, so what are you thankful for today? Right? What are you thankful for after your encounter with Jesus? He might say, well, I'm thankful for my new purpose in life. I'm thankful for the new reason for me to get up in the morning. Thankful for the call that Jesus put on my life. I'm thankful for Jesus looking past all my condition, right? The fact that I'm a tax collector, he looked past all that and gave me a new situation, gave me a new calling, gave me a new reason to get up in the morning, gave me a purpose that is way bigger than myself. Those are the things that I'm thankful for. I don't know exactly what he would say, but I'm curious about that. In fact, he was so thankful that Matthew, which this is what we do know, according to this passage, he threw a party in Jesus' honor. In fact, in Luke chapter 5, verse 29, it says, Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. It's interesting how the friends of tax collectors are other tax collectors, because that's all they got, right? That's all they got. And so they're all together. And listen, you don't throw a big banquet unless you're there to celebrate, right? And what's Matthew doing? I don't know exactly what he's doing. I know there's food, but there's probably laughter. There's probably raised voices as people are talking and telling stories and all of that. There's probably some high-fiving the fact that Matthew doesn't have to be a tax collector anymore. And yeah, maybe there's that weird Sansbury clap thing that they're all doing together, just celebrating Jesus. And so my question remains, what has Jesus done for you that is worth celebrating? What has he done for you that is worth your celebration? What has he done for you that you're so thankful that you're like, dude, I've got to laugh, I've got to yell, I've got to high five, I've got to sing, and I've got to do that weird clap thing with my neighbors? When's the last time you celebrated? When's the last time? Was it an answer to prayer that God gave, that gave you a reason to celebrate? Was it the new life that you now have with Christ, where you get out of that water and you're like, yeah? Was it an assurance that you now have that you didn't have before, that no matter what happens in this life, even if the worst case scenario happens and you breathe your last breath, you know that the next breath you're going to be in heaven right then? Is it not having to worry about where you'll end up? Is it walking around with this new living hope that you have that you never had before? Is it the joy that you have now that Jesus gives you because he removed your sins as far as the east is from the west? Is it a new family that you have here at MC3? What is it that has caused you to celebrate? What is it that Jesus has done for you that is worth you celebrating him each and every Sunday? Each and every Sunday. And here's the thing. I'm going to make this super simple, right? I'm going to try to make this super simple for me, so that I can grasp it, because I'm simple-minded, and super simple for you, so that you can understand it as well. Our mission on Sunday mornings as we show up is to wake up and to celebrate what the Lord has done in our lives. Now, for some of us, some weeks, some at some particular times, that may be a little bit tougher, right? Because you may have to really kind of search, going, okay, so what is it? What are some things, right? And maybe you have to get super simple with yourself and go on the fact, well, I was able to get up out of bed, I can feel my fingers and toes. I put my own clothes on. I was able to drive here. I've got food in the refrigerator. And I'm healthy. For some of you, you may not be able to say I'm healthy, but you're like, dude, I'm glad I'm home from the hospital. I'm glad I don't have to take those treatments anymore. I don't have to do those medications anymore. That's what I'm thankful for. I don't know what it is for you, but what is it for you? Each and every Sunday when you get up, you can say, now that's worth celebrating Jesus for. That's worth celebrating him for. See, that's our mission. Our mission is to wake up and celebrate what the Lord has done in our lives. That's it. That way, when we get here, we're excited, right? So on your drive over, my hope is that you were smiling. And maybe you had the Christian radio station on, you were singing with the songs as you're coming over because you're excited about being here, excited about being able to sing to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, getting excited about being able to spend time with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ so we, as iron sharpens iron, we can sharpen one another. Get excited about the fact that we get a chance to dive into God's Word and read it. Man, that should put a smile on our face that we've got the Bible right at our fingertips. And we've even got some brothers and sisters in Christ around the world that don't even have half the Scriptures, but yet want it, right? And yet we have it all right here. So what's the Savior done for you that is worth you celebrating Him? There should be an absolute pep in our step as we walk in to the church each Sunday, understanding that Jesus walked up this long hill carrying a cross, our cross, up to Calvary, and then died on that cross for our sins, paid for our sins in full. Because of that alone, we should be excited and celebrate what God has done, His greatness, how wonderful He is. Each and every Sunday, we should do that. Actually, every day we should do that, but definitely every Sunday, we should do that together. We can be excited. Here's the thing. We don't have to worry about someone else making it happen for us, right? We shouldn't have to look at somebody like Leslie or myself or someone else and say, okay, here I am. Make me excited today. No, no, no. That's your job. We're going to try to give it as best opportunities to make that happen. But it's a heart issue. And we've got to say, you know what? I'm excited about coming today. I'm excited about being here with one another. I'm excited about celebrating Jesus. See, our mission each Sunday is to wake up and celebrate what the Lord has done in our lives. Even if our week has been a struggle, even if it's been a tough month, even if our health isn't that good, and even if our burdens have been way too tough to bear. And that happens from time to time. Despite our circumstances, we always have cause to praise and celebrate the Lord. To praise and celebrate what He's done for us. If by no other reason than to peer into the future and realize that all this stuff we're going through right now ain't going to matter to the hill of beans when we look in the rearview mirror in heaven. It ain't going to matter because we'll be there with the Lord forever, and it's going to be incredibly awesome to be there with Him, and we'll get to celebrate with Him throughout all of eternity. As followers of Christ, we have more to celebrate than we have to complain about. Let me say that again. As followers of Christ, we've got more to celebrate than we have to complain about. Hallelujah. Amen?
Yes. Yes.
So my question to you is this. What has Jesus done for you that is worth celebrating? What are you thankful for? Because that celebration comes in the form of that thank you a lot of times. Have you ever celebrated and thanked the Lord for sending that one person into your life to help get you to be a follower of Christ, right? Right, they had a hand in that, right? Somehow they led you along the way, or something they said kind of sparked that within you, and you're like, absolutely, I'm going to follow Jesus. And so have you ever thanked the Lord for whoever that person was? Or maybe it's not just one, but multiple persons. Have you ever celebrated and thanked the Lord for the people that pray for you, right? For the people that pray for you. Now, maybe you go, I don't know who that is, or I don't know who's praying for me. Maybe that's a simple fact of asking, hey, I wonder if you'd do me a favor. Would you pray for me, right? Maybe just walk up to me and go, Art, I'm going to ask you a question. Would you pray for me every day? I'm going to tell you something. I pray for Christy and Caleb and Jessica and Maddie and Landon every day for them. Asking God to watch over them, take care of them, to bless them. Man, I've got them lifted up. Who is it that's praying for you every day? And are you thankful for them? Are you thankful for the fact that, oh, I didn't think about someone praying for me every day? Man, I'm telling you, it means a lot. And not only does it mean a lot, it's important to have people praying for you. And so if you've got a buddy here at church, if you got someone that you know and love that is close to you, that may be a good question to ask him. Hey, well, I'm just wondering, would you pray for me, right? And they may go, well, what do you mean to pray for you about? I don't know. Make it up, right? You figure it out. Right? Just pray for me, right? Maybe there are some certain things, but have you ever celebrated that? You ever been thankful for the person that's encouraged you today? Someone that patted you on the back, said, "Hey, I like your dress," or "I like your hair," or whatever. You ever thanked the Lord for that encouragement that maybe you've received from someone? Or maybe if someone that blessed you today in some way, shape, or form. Maybe it wasn't in anything major. Maybe it's just like fact that you got a donut today, right, and some coffee. Like, man, this is awesome. Thank you for that, right? And you're just kind of thankful for that blessing. Or maybe it was a conversation where someone encouraged you today. They said that one word that really meant something to you, right? Or whatever it is. Who has blessed you? We just should be thankful for that. Have you ever celebrated those that went to great lengths to make sure that we have the scriptures in our hands? I mean, think about this. You got guys like Matthew and John and Mark and Luke who followed Paul around. You had Paul. You had these other, and even in the Old Testament, you had folks that they went to great lengths to make sure that they wrote down what God had given to them by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then they somehow, the church came together and said, you know what we need to do? We need to put all this together in a way that's easier for us to read it rather than all these little, scrolls everywhere and all that. So somehow they came together through the Holy Spirit and they put this stuff together. Then they kind of questioned one another, like, okay, should this go in? Should this not go in? Is this really scripture? Is it not scripture? And through that process, they went, yep, here you go. And then now we have it right here in our hands. You ever been thankful for that? You ever been thankful for Gutenberg? Who went to his death to make sure that we had this in our hands? How thankful are you for the people that said, "Hey, I got something. I got a present for you. Here, it's a Bible." Right? Maybe you bought your own, but have you ever been thankful for that? What has Jesus done for you that is worth celebrating? Because that's our mission. That's our mission every Sunday when we come here, is to celebrate what God has done in our lives. Today is really about just us looking back on this, the week we've had, and looking forward into the week we're getting ready to go into, and say, okay, God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Just celebrating him. I think about Psalm 100, verse 4, where it says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." The gates up top, those aren't our gates. Those are God's gates, right? I hope you enter those gates with thanksgiving. I hope you enter this court right here, right, the sanctuary, with praise. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, "Rejoice always." It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to rejoice always. It's not impossible, just hard. But rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks. Celebrate in all circumstances. For this is, catch this, man, if I had a Bible, I'm telling you, I'd highlight, circle this one, point arrows, underline it. Here it is. "For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." If you have ever went, man, I want to know what God's will is for my life. What is God's will for my life? Here you go. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's what God's will is for you. Our mission each Sunday is to wake up and celebrate what God has done in our lives. How much different would our personal worship experience be if we approached every Sunday with that attitude? With the attitude of, man, I get to celebrate today. I'm high-fiving someone. I'm going to talk louder than I normally do. I'm going to sing louder than I normally do. And I'm going to do that strange Stansberry clap, whatever that is. I'm just going to do that today, right? But you may say, well, all right, I that's kind of your job to get me there, right? No. Now that's your job to come in that way. Or at least leave that way. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. And when we think about it, the choice is easy. The choice to celebrate Jesus is super simple. In fact, we celebrate God. We are celebrating, even in communion, we're celebrating him. In John chapter 20, what we see is that Jesus, really all of us, especially his followers, have been through one of the darkest times in all of history. I mean, the darkest time in all of history. I mean, they killed God, the Son of God, on a cross. So after Jesus dies, he is taken off the cross. He's placed in a tomb, and for 3 days, he is dead. Not only is he dead, but all of our hopes and dreams are dead with him in that tomb, because we have no hope without him getting out of the tomb. None at all. All of our hopes, our dreams, our future is in that tomb, whether you know it or not, for those 3 days. But in those 3 days, when he is dead. What we find here is in John 20 that those days come to an end, because in verse 1 it says this, and man, I love this. Listen to this. We're going to get there, but the celebration is going to come. Think about this. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter, the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. That's John, by the way. And said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. So she went to the tomb. She sees the stone removed. She goes back to them and says, hey, this is what I saw. And so now this is what happened. Verse 3. So Peter and the other disciple, that's John, started for the tomb. Both were running. But the other disciple, John, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over, looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him, went straight into the tomb, saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, that's John, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. But he gives us commentary. He says, they still did not understand from the scriptures that Jesus had to rise from the dead. They believed but didn't believe, right? This is a weird time for them. Like, what's going on? And then the disciples went back to where they were staying. And so they're like, okay, I don't know what this means. So they just left. But here's the thing, Mary stays behind. She lingers at the tomb. And so here's the next verse, verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? They've taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. And at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, woman, why are you crying? It's the second time she was asked that question. It's kind of interesting. Why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary, says her name. Man, there's something about when somebody says your name. You know, anybody can say your name, but when your mom says your name, you know it, right? When somebody special says your name, you kind of know it. Mary understood that was Jesus by the fact that he said, Mary. And she turned around and she cried out. She cried out in Aramaic. If you got a paper Bible, I would circle the exclamation point on this next word. She says, Rabboni, which means teacher. Teacher! She yelled at the top of her voice. She yelled out. That's what we do when we celebrate. Could you imagine her excitement? Can you imagine her joy? Can you imagine the celebration in her voice, the celebration in her heart to see Jesus again, the celebration on her face? Man, if that was the Stansberry Boys, high-fiving, yelling at the top of our voice, and doing that weird clap thing that we do, that's just what we would do. Could you imagine the celebration that was going on in her heart? I bet Mary couldn't run fast enough to get back to the others to tell them so they could celebrate together, because in celebration, there's community. We come together and we celebrate. Oh, my friends, if we have every reason, you and I, we've got every reason to celebrate Jesus each and every Sunday, and it's right here in these emblems. It's right here in the bread that we eat and the cup that we drink. It's in the remembrance of his body and the remembrance of his blood. And it reminds us to celebrate what he's done, to celebrate in our hearts, to celebrate on our faces, to celebrate in our voices, the fact that Jesus paid our sins. He paid our sins in full by going to the cross, paying for those sins, and then raising 3 days later. That makes our mission on Sundays pretty easy. Easy peasy. If you want an easy job, here it is. Get up every Sunday. Wake up and celebrate what Jesus has done. Because that's it. What do? We show up here and we simply celebrate what God has done for us. Let me pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for making it super simple for us. Lord, that we would celebrate you, celebrate your salvation. Celebrate, Lord God, you've given us an opportunity, Father, to put our faith in you. Father, thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, to repent of our sins. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, to be baptized. What an incredible opportunity, Lord God, to be buried in that water, to bury our old way of life and to be raised up into the newness of life. How incredible is that? That is worthy of celebration. Father, thank you that you give us those opportunities. Lord, there's a ton of things, if we step back and think, that if we just were to jot them down, that we would be thankful for, that we could celebrate, Lord God, as to what you've done for us. And one of them, Lord God, is right here, wrapped up in communion, reminding us that we have hope, that we have a future, that we have a calling because of what you've done for us, Lord God, because you came into this world, took our sins upon yourself, tacked them to the cross. Father, thank you. Thank you for raising 3 days later, giving us new life, new hope, new joy, a new reason to get up in the mornings, a new calling, Lord God, that we can go and share the same message with the people around us. Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord God, each and every Sunday, each and every day, Lord, to celebrate, that we have more reason to celebrate than complain. And so, Father, I thank you. Lord, may we go through this life saying, thank you, thank you, thank you for what you have done. May we say that all the way through as we cross those portals and enter into heaven, Lord God, where we will celebrate you forever. And so, Father, thank you for the opportunity to celebrate. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hey, listen, if you've got things, you know, I always say, hey, can we pray for you? And sometimes, you know, we're thinking things that, you know, that are happening to you, right? Things that you're going through. But maybe there's some things that you're just like, we need to celebrate. Here's some things I want you to pray for me, and we're just going to celebrate it. And we just praise the Lord as opposed to say, hey, Lord, can you take care of X, Y, and Z? So if you've got some things that you need to celebrate, Jim and I would be right down front. We'd be happy to pray with you and pray those kinds of prayers. But if you've had a tough week, we're happy to pray for those things as well, because we want to come alongside of you and encourage you and bless you and help you carry those burdens as well to the Lord. We're going to give them to him. But if you need that, we'll be right down front. If you've never joined the church, but you're a baptized believer in the Christ, we encourage you to come to us. We'll help you with the next steps in that. And if you've not been baptized, today's the day to make that happen. I know it's cold outside, but it's warm in here. And we've got towels. And so we encourage you, if you've not made that decision, maybe today's the day that you make that decision. You can come to us. We'll be happy to help you with that decision today. You can come and get your communion here in just a second. There's communion in the back. You can take them at your seat. You can take it up here at the tables. Maybe you want to go off to the side tables and just kind of kneel a little bit and just take some opportunity to say thank you, to really count your blessings and to really name them one by one and celebrate what God has done for you. Maybe that's what you need to do today. Whatever it is, we encourage you. If you need someone to help you, come to Jim, come to myself. We'll be happy to help walk with you as we walk with one another. Let me pray. Let me just encourage you today to come and partake of communion.